You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I am thrilled to have with us on the program David Wheaton, who was a great tennis player, professional tennis player, and is now ministering and promoting the gospel throughout the U.S. He is radio host of The Christian Worldview, a radio talk show that airs weekly in Minneapolis, 165 other stations in the U.S. He's a writer, a frequent motivational speaker, and a follower of Jesus Christ. In his tennis career, you may be familiar with some of his great matches, reaching the semifinals at Wimbledon, where he beat Andre Agassi, and he reached a peak of number 12 in the world in the tennis AP ranking. So it's a real thrill and honor to have David Wheaton join us. Welcome.
Hey, well, thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me on the program today. Looking forward to it.
Now, it's so many things run through my mind when getting to talk to an athlete like you of such notoriety. Could you take us through your story and your journey and your background and maybe how God got hold of you and set you into ministry as well?
Well, sure. There's sort of an external story that some people who follow tennis may know. Then there's kind of a backstory as well, what God was doing in my life all those years. And, I was born and raised in Minnesota in a place called Lake Minnetonka, which is just west of the Twin Cities in Minneapolis and St. Paul. I grew up in a great Christian family. I'm the youngest of four kids by a long shot. My next oldest sibling is about 9 years older than I am. I have two older brothers and an older sister. And so when I was very young, we grew up in a neighborhood that had a hockey rink up here in Minnesota. That's a big sport in the state, just down the street from our house. We also had two public tennis courts just about a block away from our house. So my older siblings were involved in sports, typically hockey in the winter and some tennis in the summer. My grandfather, that's my mom's dad, had learned tennis out of a book after his business career.
Wow.
And taught tennis and taught my mom, who was his only child. And my mom became a tennis pro just part-time. She wasn't really a full-time mom, but she taught some community service classes in the summer and at a local country club in summers. And so she had taught tennis to my older siblings. And then when I came along many years later, I was sort of the tag-along ball boy down at the local courts, and so they would begin to toss me balls back when I was about 4 years old. And so that's when I started playing tennis, and I had actually started playing hockey before even that. When I could barely walk, they were already getting me on hockey skates. So I grew up with this very athletic family and background and the opportunities of having those facilities right near where I lived. And so I grew up playing both, and by the time I got to about 13, the sport started to interfere with each other. The tennis tournaments and the hockey tournaments tend to be at the same time during the winter. And I chose tennis when I was about 13 years old. I'm not exactly sure why, but I think maybe the individual aspect of the sport led me to go that route, although I love team sports too. But I went on a track to play tennis and started to do better and better and play in not only local tournaments but national tournaments, and was on the whole national tennis circuit from the time I was, let's say, 9 years old to 18. And I finished my high school years down in Florida at the Nick Bollettieri Tennis Academy. The last 2.5 years of high school were there, training with some great players like Andre Agassi and Jim Courier, and finished my junior career as the number one player in America and got a scholarship to go play tennis at Stanford. And I went to Stanford, where we won the NCAA title there, and I played for 1 year at Stanford, then turned professional back in 1988, and played for 13 years on the tour. And what a great experience that was. But all through this time, Brian, I've kind of given you the external story. The backstory was, growing up in this Christian family, you know, I had made a profession of faith when I was 4 or 5 years old. But, you know, that profession began to be tested as I got into my teens and in that junior tennis world, and different friendships come in, the temptations of the world and the flesh come in, and I really wasn't able to withstand it and overcome them very well. And as I went to high school and then college, began to get very far away from that early profession of faith. But as I came on the tennis tour, actually at a time when I was really doing well, God really showed me the emptiness. I had won a big tournament in Munich, Germany called the Grand Slam Cup. And after winning that tournament, I just realized how quickly it all came to an end. This is the pinnacle moment of my career. And within 10 minutes after this big victory over Michael Chang in the final, I just realized, wow, that was really over in a hurry. Where's the victory lap here? And it just came to an end so quickly, I realized that for the first time in my life that if I'm going to continue to chase after things that the world chases after, fame, fortune, success, that's not going to be very fulfilling in the end. I needed to be in a right relationship with my Creator. And that's what led me to that, getting to that point a couple years later when I was 24 years old. I came to a point of realizing that I was a sinner. God was holy. I was not reconciled with Him. I was a professing Christian, but not a possessing Christian. I don't think I possessed genuine saving faith. And when I was 24, I came to a point of true repentance, faith in Christ as my Savior and Lord. And, you know, as a part of that conversion, that change in my life, He gave me the Spirit to help me to overcome the things that I couldn't overcome earlier in my life. I certainly didn't become a sinless person, but I did begin to have victory over the areas where I couldn't previously have victory in my life. And that was basically the second half of my tennis career. I retired when I was 32, and you know, that's like, you know, being put out to pasture as a tennis player when you're in your early 30s. It's just tough to play much longer than that, and God got me involved in Christian radio after that, and so this has been the longest answer in the history of the world, but you asked about my background, so there it is.
That's wonderful, and that's a wonderful testimony of God's saving grace and how He calls us to repentance. You know, it's not like picking between a two-handed backhand and a one-handed. It's the way, the truth, and the life, and we appreciate your testimony. Now, tell us about your ministry presently through your radio and your writings, and given the platform you have as a known athlete, how do you use those ways to preach the gospel, to share your faith in Christ?
Well, you know, after I finished playing tennis, I'd played for 13 years, and this was the beginning of 2002. I just finished my last year on the tennis tour, and I was trying to figure out, well, now what do I do? You know, do I go back and finish college? Remember, I only went to 1 year of college. Or do I get involved in some sort of tennis coaching career or something else? And early in that year in 2002, I was driving back from our cabin up in northern Minnesota with my parents, and my parents, and I was unmarried at the time, and it was just the three of us in the car, and my mother said to me, you know, David, have you ever considered getting involved in talk radio or Christian talk radio? And the reason she said that to me out of the blue was that Christian radio had had such a big impact on our family. My grandmother was the first one saved in our family back in 1955. She heard a message on the radio in her kitchen and got down on her hands and knees and put her faith in Christ. And a couple years later, my mom was saved the same way. And my sister had worked for a brief time in Christian radio. And in the home growing up, Christian radio was on constantly, whether teaching or music, that kind of thing. And so I think my mom realized the big impact that Christian radio had had in our family and thought that might be a good career, so to speak, or good next direction for me at that time in my life. And so within about 6 weeks of her mentioning that to me out of the blue, a local radio station, there was a sports show, and the host of that show called me to do an interview. And after doing an interview with me, he got back in touch and said, you know, David, I'm thinking of getting into a different career. How would you could take over my radio program?
Wow.
6 weeks after my mother said that to me. And so obviously it was just God moving in my life in that direction. I started hosting that program. It was a sports, Christian sports show, and then it became more of what it is now called the Christian Worldview, which focuses on current events, culture, and faith from a biblical perspective. And I've been doing that all these years, and that has been a tremendous opportunity not only to talk about the gospel in a biblical worldview, but it's been a tremendous time of growth for me as the host of the show to have to, you know, interview guests and be up on the topics we're talking about and that sort of thing. And I also wrote a book back in 2005 called University of Destruction, and this sort of chronicled my own experience as I went off to Stanford as a freshman coming from a Christian home and going off to a big secular liberal university like that, and how much that was challenging to my faith. And that's been another thing I've been involved in, is some writing projects along those lines in University of Destruction. So, you know, God, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do after finishing tennis, but God certainly had a plan and has directed some things towards me that have fit me well as a person, but have also been very fulfilling as well.
That's an excellent point. I want to encourage all our listeners to go to your website, thechristianworldview.com.
It's .org, actually.
And check out your book and your radio ministry. You know, it continues to be a powerful medium. The spoken word, preaching and proclaiming the gospel and God's truth. Now, as you observe these Olympics and all the other sports going on, having been in the fishbowl, so to speak, people observing you being a recognizable figure, what opportunity do some of these athletes who are followers of Christ, who are Christians, have a vibrant faith, do you see any opportunity for them to stand up and use that platform in a way you have?
Oh, most certainly. You just have to look at the life and times of Tim Tebow to see what kind of impact a strong professional athlete who's a strong, committed follower of Jesus Christ can have. I mean, I've never seen anything like it with Tim Tebow. The national conversation he started. I mean, I think he really is the most followed, popular athlete in the world. Maybe in the world, for sure in America, but maybe in the world at this point. I mean, you watch ESPN, everything is follows his every movement. So, he likes to talk of it in terms of platform, and that really is the case. Now, it's a difficult world. Yeah, I remember being in the tennis world. There's a lot of temptations out there. It's a godless, secular world. The tennis players are coming from all over the world, from different backgrounds, different spiritualities, so to speak. And they're at a time in their life where they're making a lot of money. They're traveling around. There's not a lot of authority or accountability. They're not involved in the church. And you can just imagine where those kinds of things go. So there's a lot of temptation when you're in a high level of sports. Spiritually, temptation is the flesh, that kind of thing, and it really takes a spirit-empowered believer to be able to stay strong and have a good accountability network and a support network around that person to do well. But when that is in place, I mean, there are opportunities, whether through just interactions with your fellow competitors or Bible studies or those types of things to have those conversations. And you notice what your fellow competitors and athletes are doing, and certainly, when you see committed athletes in their faith, they do make a big impact on their fellow athletes.
Amen. And all the more reason to pray for people who are in an area of such responsibility and visibility. Now, how can Oklahoma Baptist pray for you, David, in your ministry, for your family?
Well, I appreciate your asking that. That's nice of you to do so. You know, I was married 3 years ago. I got married late in life when I was age 40. I married a girl who I'd known for almost my entire life. So that has been a great blessing to marry someone I'd known for a long time, but even more importantly, a fellow believer.
Amen.
And so I would say going forward, just for both of us, that I think what's important for marriage is to have a good marriage. You got to, you know, not love each other more, but love Christ more. And so to continue to love Christ and want to share the good news with others and to grow in our closeness to Him, that will help not only with our marriage, but everything we do. We just don't want to grow cold in our faith. We want to have a vibrant faith that doesn't look down on others as, you know, boy, look how much sinners they are. But realize that, you know, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, you know, but God, through His grace, is the one who saved us. And the world, that's world-changing for this world, is to understand the gospel. So to be better proclaimers of the gospel, to live a separated, holy life, so our walk matches our talk, to be willing to serve, do good deeds for others out of a heart of love. I mean, I think just the fundamentals, Brian, you're nice to ask, but I think those are the things that come to mind.
Well, we certainly will. And again, you have many fans in Oklahoma throughout your tennis career. And, of course, marvel at the accomplishments and your skill at the game, but more so that you took that step of faith, that you put your hope and trust in Christ. And we want to wish blessings on you. Again, could you give us that website one more time so our listeners could check out your radio broadcasts, about your writings, and so forth?
Sure. Before I do, let me just say, though, I appreciate your complimentary words, but I do want to deflect that anything I am or anything I have accomplished is truly due to God's grace.
Amen.
And the help of others, many others in my life. I've been just kind of one link in the chain that has helped me, you know, do anything that I do. So I appreciate your saying that. As far as the website, I have two websites. Either one, they connect to each other. So you can go to the radio program website is thechristianworldview.org. And I have a personal website, too, just my name, davidwheaton.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us on Messenger Insight, and we look forward to continuing to follow the things you're doing through your ministry and proclaiming the gospel so that all people may know Jesus Christ and what He can bring to the human heart and for time and eternity. David Wheaton, blessings to you from Oklahoma.
And to you, Brian, and the rest of your crew down there as well.
Thanks so much.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.